Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.
Serving spiritual seekers around the world. Unity Online Radio. Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Hastings in England. You know, the Battle of Hastings and all that. This is week six in our 10-week series, Taking World Spirituality on the Road. And for the past 5 weeks, we've been in Scotland. And now we're down, I'm talking about we, Wendy and I, are down here in Hastings enjoying this quite balmy weather today. It's been hot by English standards. And we're in the beautiful home of old friends, Jilly Hall and Liam Jenicky. And I'm welcoming Liam to the show. He's a drummer, and he's played for such bands and acts as Jerry Rafferty, Steel Ice Span, and Paul Brady. And he's going to talk about his life and career. And also Wendy's here, too. So, hey, Wendy.
Hello, hello.
And welcome, Liam.
Good evening. Hello.
We're glad you're here with us.
I'm glad you're here with me, too. I'm very happy to be here.
So we've known each other since the 70s, haven't we? It's been a long time.
You've known Jilly since the 70s, but I met you in the 80s.
Oh, it was early 80s, because yeah. I know you came over to Cardiff with Jilly when Maria, my daughter, was just a few, young. So, yeah, it must have been the early 80s, yeah. And we've been friends ever since. And in fact, it's almost as if my daughter Miriam has a special feeling for this place here in Hastings, because every time she comes, she's been here a number of times, she feels like it's a second home. And I feel the same way. It's a beautiful house. Looks out over the sea, and there's open space in front of it. Just very lovely, and they've made the house very welcoming, and so it's always nice to be here. And I know you enjoy coming here too, Wendy.
Yes, I certainly do. And they're very welcoming people also. Everybody in town knows them. We won't go walk through town and everybody greets them and seems so happy to see them.
Well, I don't think there's a person that's not a friend to Liam, because he'll walk up to people on the street and just chat with them. And it's very disarming. And everybody has a good time with him, so that's nice. Of course, it's a relatively small town here, but it's not that small. It's got to be 100,000 people or something, but seems like everybody knows Liam. So, Liam, why drumming? How did that happen?
Drumming came about when I was born in Dublin, and we lived in a one-up, one-down terrace cottage with three beds in the bedroom, the boys, the girls, and then my parents were in the other bed. And I was number six of the seven survivors of my mother's 11 pregnancies. It's very Catholic, this Irish thing. And I was number six. And my mother told me, I asked her once, how I got into rhythm. Because all through my childhood, I was always interested in rhythm, running sticks along railings. So you get that. And then my father used to play cards and he'd roll coins between his fingers and I'd go. And my mother said to get me from under her feet, she used to put me upstairs with a couple of pots and a pair of wooden spoons. And I would sit up there for hour upon hour, just bang, 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 bang. And when she couldn't hear me, she would come up to see what I was up to.
Yeah, there we go.
So from then on in, I learned to play rhythm instinctively as a child, like you learn to walk. I didn't think about it. I didn't plan it. It just came about.
Right.
And then I saw a drummer when I was 15. I saw the Beatles, actually. Oh, no, it was before the Beatles. I saw a drummer at a youth club that I went to in Plymouth. We moved to Plymouth in England when I was 12 in 1960. And I saw this guy playing drums, and I went, phew, that's what I want to do. So that was it, really.
Then you got yourself a drum kit.
I got myself a drum kit when I was 15, when I left school. I left school on July the 23rd, 1963. I remember the very day. I got a drum kit when I was 15, and I've 54 years now I've been playing.
Yeah, 54 years,
yeah,
my goodness.
I love it so much.
And you just, so you told me you've just done like four or five gigs.
Five gigs this weekend.
In the last weekend.
Yeah, like five different bands. It's great.
Yeah, five different bands. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's we were talking about this as we were walking around town earlier. It's almost instinctual, right? It becomes an instinctual thing. You pick up the drums.
Yeah,
the rhythm's there.
Yeah,
right?
The rhythm is. It's all about listening. You listen to who you're working with, like a conversation.
Uh-huh.
You listen, and I've been told by Jilly, my partner, that I'm not really a great listener when it comes to conversation, but when it comes to music, I am. Yeah.
So what style of music is your favorite?
My favorite style of music would be, if I was just given one choice of music to play, it would have to be freeform music. Freeform in that sense that it's improvised and there's no structure. And I did a lot of that in the 70s when I met up with a saxophone player called Trevor Watts, who happens to live two doors away from here. And he's the reason why I'm down here. I came down to see him, and then I met Julie. But why I like freeform is because it's free, and we would go on stage and we would start from silence, and as soon as somebody would make a bang, we're off. That was it. And what I liked about freeform is that I could get all sorts of rhythms. I could get all sorts of styles of music, blues, reggae, jazz, rock. I could play all kinds of rhythms in it. And that's what I liked. That's what I liked about it. It was free. And also there's not a time where there was no rhythm structure. It was just, like noise, just making noise.
Right.
That's what I liked.
Right. So sometimes when I think of freeform, I'm thinking jazz.
Doesn't have to be jazz, but that's the genre of music it comes from.
Right.
The title freeform
right.
jazz. Yeah.
Right.
And you had avant-garde music, which was freeform, but avant-garde music was a political statement as opposed to just the guys getting together.
Right. But of course, you've done a lot with folk music as well, haven't you? That's been
Steely Span.
And if you're listening in America, you might not be as familiar as you are if you're listening from Britain, because Steely Span, a very well known band in Britain, but they're not quite as well known in the States, which is unfortunate, really, because they're a really excellent folk band. And Matty Pryor, of course, is the wonderful lead vocalist, and she's been with Steely Span since the 60s. And I remember the All Around My Hat was a big hit when I was a kid. And they've continued to make great, great albums. And how long have you worked with Steely then?
Since 89, I worked with them. 1989. And then I met Steely through the violinist who I met through playing with Trevor, playing all this freeform stuff. I joined in 89, and then both Maddie and I left in 97 for various reasons, and then we rejoined in 2001. There was just some internal politics went on within the band. So Maddie left, and then I left because Maddie left, and then we came back again in 2001. It was a reform of the band.
Right.
Reunion sort of thing.
Right.
But yeah, and I love playing the band. I love playing music, you know. I never ask people what the music is when they say, are you free to do a gig? I don't have any preference. There isn't any music I don't like.
Interesting.
Yeah. I often hear people saying they don't like this music or they think it's rubbish or they think it's nonsense. I don't believe that. I believe in music you like and you don't like, and that's it, really. I don't believe in bad music at all.
Well, you know, they always say that, the drummer, you don't really hear the drummer if he's a really good drummer. I don't mean that in the sense.
But you feel it.
Yeah. You feel it. You only notice it if they're bad or they do it. So when it's going well, it fits in perfectly.
Yeah,
yeah. So is that the intent?
Yeah,
is to.
That's it.
Yeah.
You feel, if you feel the drums, you don't have to hear it.
Right. So what about the old days where, you know, we had these 15-minute drum solos and all that? What do you think about those?
I don't.
You don't think about them.
It depends, really. I mean, you've got famous drummers like Buddy Rich, who was they used to say he was the best drummer in the world, and that's a matter of opinion. Technically, he was absolutely brilliant, and when he played drum solo, to me, it was all rudiments, you know? Like talking, it was just all rudiments.
Right.
You know, you could be talking about language or about a dictionary.
Right.
And it's all rudiments. That's where there are other drums, for instance, like Stevie Wonder, amazing drummer, and amazing because of his feel and his simplicity, and he plays the song. And Steve Gadd is another drummer I love, Steve Gadd. And Ginger Baker, he's a big name, but not my favorite drummer, you know.
Really?
So, so I go for the drummers that you feel more than you hear.
Right.
Stevie Wonder singing Inner Visions, that album of his, he played almost all the instruments on that. And seeing Stevie Wonder in the studio singing and playing drums and putting down the lead vocal, just phenomenal, you know.
Right.
So I go for drummers with heart, you know, with soul.
Right.
As you know.
Right, of course.
Yeah, we have a very, I said to Julia, I love talking with you, you know, we haven't had just the time we had to get, because we've got a very similar sort of sense of humour, and we like the sort of same types of music,
right.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And you singing that Bob Dylan song, it's more lovely. that was great.
Yeah, we sang You Gotta Serve Somebody by Bob Dylan. It was one of my favourite, of course I love Bob Dylan in general, but Gotta Serve Somebody is a great song, you know, maybe the devil, maybe the Lord, but you got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
And of course, in Unity, we don't necessarily believe in a literal devil, but we believe in the lower impulses. So you're either serving the lower impulses or you're serving the angels, you know, the better angels of our nature. And it's a stark choice sometimes, you know, where's your energy going into stupid limiting thinking or into expansive thinking, and I think Bob Dylan nails it. But it's also a great funky song too. It's got a nice beat to it, and it's fun to listen to, and it's fun to sing along to as well. So at one point you were singing with Jerry Rafferty, right?
Yeah,
of course, many people in the States again are familiar with Jerry Rafferty because of his hit Baker Street. Which because he had many other songs as well, but that's the one I think most people were familiar with him for. But sad guy, right? He had his end of his life wasn't so great, was it?
Oh, he died. Well, I think Jerry was 63 when he died.
Yeah,
and he drank himself. Yeah, and I think it's more or less to do with his background. I mean, everything we do is all to do with our background, our upbringing.
Right.
How we are at this point in our life. And yeah, he was, Jerry drank, and he was fearless, and he, I don't think he cared much for his life, really.
Right.
Although he was and such a fantastic writer and singer. And I loved the guy, really loved the guy. But, you know, yeah, I find it very sad that he went so early in his life. And Baker Street's wonderful, wonderful song.
Yeah, great song. Yeah. And, of course, many of us remember the saxophone break on that song is pretty amazing.
Mm.
But also he did some other very, very thoughtful songs. And there's one song that Wendy and I are particularly fond of. In fact, it's kind of our theme song. You know, lovers have songs, right? And I guess our song is right down the line,
yeah.
Which is a great song by Jerry Rafferty. If you're not familiar with it, check it out. Very good. And then, of course, you've been involved a lot with Paul Brady, right?
Yeah, Paul. I did a lot. I joined Paul in 85. And Paul was hard work. But then I suppose I am hard work as well. I'm all hard work at times. But he's a fantastic songwriter. I mean, just an incredible songwriter. And passionate, very passionate, very passionate. And I think one of his most famous songs is probably The Island.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people covered his songs, you know. Bonnie Tyler, Bonnie Raitt covered his songs,
mm-hmm.
as she did with Richard Thompson. She covered Richard Thompson. And Tina Turner made a big hit with one of his songs, Paradise.
Mm.
And what was a couple of other songs? I can't remember what the titles are.
Yeah, and Brady's also toured with Bonnie Raitt, right?
Oh, yeah. Him and Bonnie are very close.
Yeah.
Bonnie came to Ireland. Brady had a two-week event in a club in Ireland in 2001, which he's recorded. And Bonnie came along and played with us for 3 days. And, oh, wow, she was just unbelievable as a person and a player. I mean, for me, she was a woman's woman. You know, she was really a very strong woman and really stood strong for women, which I thought was great.
Yes, absolutely.
I hate to say this, but in a man's world. I mean, James Brown sings that song, It's a Man's World. And every time he sang that song, I go, hang on a minute. But then the next line is, but it wouldn't be anything without a woman.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and that's lovely that
he threw that one in, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it is, it's true. And Bonnie was very much like, she was fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, no, hopefully it's not a man's world anymore, you know. No. We all like that song, but it speaks to a sort of an old-timey way of looking at things, and it's equally a woman's world as well as a man's world. And then to throw that bone in, well, you know, we'd be nothing without a woman. Yeah, great. Well, you know, let's move beyond those old dualities. I think we're advocating total equality here.
Yeah.
And I know Wendy's got something to say about that one. Let's go ahead, Wendy.
Get back to the 21st century. Come on.
Well, let me just say this: that you know, I quote unquote worked in a man's world, being in construction, and. You know, it's everyone's world. It's all our perspectives, and you can't help it. If you're a male, you're going to come from a male's point of view. If you're female, you're going to come from a female's point of view. And to me, it doesn't mean that you can't transfer over, that you can't see the world from both of those perspectives, because we all have our feminine part in, and we all have our male part in. And so you might say that he just threw that in, but, you know, it wouldn't be good without a woman. But, you know, it's that contrast. It's that nitty gritty good contrast that makes things spicy. So, if you know, if there wasn't that contrast, then maybe we would miss some of the juiciness of this world. I think it's when you make the two on opposite ends, like it's either your world or my world, it's the duality thinking, instead of the contrast, we're both
yeah,
and
yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we were at the pier at Hastings, which for many years was left derelict because it had burned at one point, and it was a mess. And over the period of years, there's been a refurbishment, right, of this pier. Yeah. And instead of replacing it with an old-fashioned funfair and, you know, all the stuff that used to go on piers in Britain, there's a minimalist approach. And so there's a huge amount of decking, just left as decking. And then when there's concerts, they set up for concerts, whatnot. And it's beautifully done. They've taken parts of the old pier that survived and made it into a wall. It's got a 3D effect. But anyway, there was about two or three people working on removing some wood so they could put some power cables, whatever, behind. And there were two guys and one woman, and she was a young woman, but she was dressed in, interestingly, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And she had sort of I don't know what it was on her head, but it was protecting her from the sun. It was like a tea towel. And she had tattoos all over herself. But she was very, of course, Liam went up to everybody and started talking, as Liam does. And but she was delightful. She shared with us. But the thing that struck me is Liam asked her, well, you're a bit of a tomboy, aren't you? And she said, no, I'm not. And and I love that response because it was like, listen, I could be doing a quote man's job, and I can be nailing things and drilling things, but that doesn't make me a tomboy, and I can still be a full woman. And I thought that was a great response because, you know, we tend to categorize people as girly girls or tomboys, and you can be still be a full woman and do a man's work, quote man's work.
And I have to say that she was darling and she was sexy. She had on that tea towel on her head, and she had some type of bonnet or something underneath there. I couldn't quite tell.
Her hair, she had hair.
And she
overalls.
She had overalls on that were sort of rolled up or something, rolled up to her knees or something, so it was showing off the bottom of her legs. And she was sexy, even though she was dirty and grimy and.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And you know, you know, I know men that some men that can't use an electric drill to screw a stainless steel screw straight into the deck. And that was a backer rod that they were putting in. It was an insulated rod, not a electric.
Well, okay.
Cable.
All right, I stand corrected.
In my defense, my approach to Francesca, which was her name, that she's a bit of a tomboy, was purposely to just to get that response.
See how she'd respond. Oh, yeah.
She was great. She was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, somebody quoted to me once that if God made anything better than a woman, he or she kept it to themselves, and which I thought was a fantastic.
There we go. Yeah. So this part of the show is brought to you by James Brown, who unbeknownst created this wonderful conversation. Yes. Yeah, he may not have realized he was going to take it this direction, but we did. So. We thank you, Mr. Brown. Okay. One thing I want to say about Paul Brady is that, 14 years ago, after my first wife died of breast cancer, Miriam and I, my daughter and I, wanted to go somewhere, wanted to escape. And we went to two places. One was to my friend that I met in India when I was in my 20s. Who lived in Seattle, and the other one was to come here to Hastings to see Jilly and Liam. And I think because, like we said earlier, it seems like home. And for me to go up to Seattle was to go back to somebody who'd met my late wife at the same time that I did. And but while we were here in Hastings, Liam introduced me to Paul Brady. I'd never heard of him before. And gave me a couple of CDs, which we took home, and we played those for months, I think, after that time. And it became very, very powerful healing tools, because it was a time of grief and loss. And many of Brady's songs speak to that loss, but also speak of the resonance and resilience of love. And, Liam talked about The Island, which is a very beautiful song. I thank you for that, because probably didn't know how important that was, but it really was for both me and Miriam at that time. So yeah, The Island's all about it's contrasting personal love, isn't it, with war craziness of life.
What's going on in Ireland?
Yeah,
and shipwreck. Some of the lyrics. But the wrecks on the street or one house, and children dying,
right?
Because that's a lot about that, children dying. I mean, it's all about war. We went to see that Dunkirk film, and it's unbelievably moving how you just get reminded of those soldiers who are so young, and soldiers of war were very young people. So Brady's thing is very, very, it's so popular in Ireland. It's such a popular, we played at festivals. And Brady made that song back in the 80s, early 80s, and we played at festivals where kids wouldn't have even been born there.
Right.
And I should play it today, and I've got it on tape where kids, I'll do a CD of it, kids singing the whole chorus of that song at a festival, 2,000-3,000 kids singing it. And it just, you just well up inside with a sense of water touches inside you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it ends at the, following each other's footprints in the sand, and making love, and
to the sound of the ocean.
To the sound of the ocean, you know.
The kids go, woo!
Yeah.
They love all that, yeah.
But it's the idea, I think, of the eternal verities, the things that, the flow and the harmony of life in the midst of all the chaos. And we got to remember that, I think, that no matter what chaos there is in the world of politics or in the world of circumstance, there's still that flow. There's always hope. There's always the presence of that flow and that harmony and things. And I know Wendy and I are going to talk about that a little bit in a couple of events that happened to us recently along those lines. So we'll talk about that in the second part of the show. So I know you like to travel, and you've been all over the world pretty much, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't really seen it, because in a band you fly in, generally fly in, do your gig, and then fly out the next day.
Right.
In the States, we had a couple of days in the various places. Like, for instance, in the States, last time we played there, we flew in, we went via Canada, went down, drove down into New York, arrived in New York, had a dressing room somewhere, did the gig, and then drove out of New York that same night.
Right.
To me, that was very, very difficult. Going to such a, because I love New York. I just love the feel of that city, New Jersey. That's the place I was talking about. New Jersey, where you say you like a coffee.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that, and the same in Australia. We flew into Adelaide. You do the gig, and the next day you're off. But I'd rather do that than not do it, because you do get a sense of people and the environment and culture.
Right, but you've also done your own private travel.
So oh yeah, we've been to India a couple of times.
Yeah.
We've been to India again in January.
Right.
And Hong Kong, I've been to Hong Kong. Yeah, and a lot of Europe, go to Europe a lot, you know.
And one of the cool things about Gillian Liam and is they're in their late 60s now, early 70s, and but they're still walking, and there's a wonderful walk you can do from one part of England to the other, where you go from St. Bee's Head in the Lake District, 200 miles across the north of England, across Yorkshire, and through three national parks to Robin Hood's Bay on the other side, and it's about a two-week walk. And they've done that twice now in the last couple of years. And Wendy and I, you know, speak a lot about this because we feel it's important as we get to a more exalted age to keep moving, to keep, whether it's walking, running, do some exercise. Don't ever get sedentary, because I think it's a killer, basically. You've got to keep active.
Don't stagnate.
And earlier you quoted somebody, Liam, that had a quote about moving, about keeping moving.
Oh, yeah, the old lady next door, Beat. She died when she was 97, but she lived on her own until she was 95, and then she moved in with her children. And she'd come into our house with her little plimsolls and white ankle socks and run up and down the keyboard, the piano in the hallway, and ask us if there was anything we wanted downtown. We'd say, would you like anything? She said, no, I've got to go up and down. You've got to keep your legs going, she said. Motion is lotion, and she's absolutely right. You just got to keep moving, otherwise you will stagnate and get stiff.
Right, you'll seize up.
Yeah,
we don't want that. And one of the things we noticed on the Isle of Rona, because it was so hilly and there were no real roads, there was just tracks, and some of those tracks seemed to go up vertically. But we had to walk at least a mile to get from the harbour where we landed to the house we were staying in. And it was a workout. And wherever we went on the island, you know, you're tramping through peat bogs pretty much. So it's not the easiest walking. But it was fantastic, actually, to get puffed out, because you realized how out of shape you were, but also how in shape you were getting as a result. So it was great to do it. But sometimes until you push yourself, you don't know where you are and where your body is. So it's good to always push it a little more. I know here in Hastings, where they live is right above the old town, and so there's lots of steps up and down. And I know Jilly says she doesn't do much exercise except walk up and down all the time. Well, that's enough, because it's quite a workout just coming up from below. And so I advise any one of us to do something every day, you know, to aerobically exercise, to like we said, to use our joints and keep everything in the flow, because otherwise not a good result.
Well, my dad used to say, get up and walk around for a little bit, you'll feel better. Just move around, you'll feel better. And of course, being a kid, I'd grumble at that, but he's so right. And I still use that today. Just get up and move around for a little bit. And, you know, sometimes if you're grumbling in your mind and grumbling with your thoughts and your inside your head, if you just get up and change your perspective just a little bit, just shift a little bit, that life seems a whole lot better.
And just a shameless plug of self-aggrandizement to myself right now. If you read Unity magazine, or even if you don't, get a hold of it, because I've got an article in there under the Faith Matters column on empowered aging. So you can get more of my take on how we empower ourselves as we quote get older, and also there's an article on a rock song in there that I put together. So check those two articles out. And in this current edition, it's the September October edition of Unity magazine. And once again, check me out on my website, pauljohnroach.com. And if you want to find out more about Liam, what's the best way? Facebook?
Facebook. Go on Facebook, or go to steelispan.org.uk, I think.
Okay. Yeah, check out steelispan. Yeah. You'll find out more about Liam. There's a lot of information. Do you have a website also, your own personal website? Doesn't have a website.
Got a drum kit.
Got a drum kit. Drum kit will travel. Yeah. That's all he needs. One man and a couple of sticks, and off we go. All right, we're about halfway through the show, folks. We're coming to you from Hastings in England. If you've never come here, check it out. It's a lovely seaside resort. I had some cockles this morning. There's a lovely old town with old shops, and there's a vibrant scene here. It's a holiday resort, but it's a lovely place to hang. And of course, it's got a lot of historical significance. It's got a castle, and it's close to where the Battle of Hastings took place. So we'll be back. I'm going to ask Liam some more questions, and we'll talk about some of those spiritual experiences that I mentioned in this segment. Join us after these messages from Unity.
If Unity Online Radio has helped you grow spiritually through programs like this one, please consider supporting this online radio programming. Visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Thank you for helping us continue to serve as the voice of an awakening world.
Kintsugi is an ancient Japanese art form of fusing broken pottery pieces together by filling the cracks with gold. The resulting piece is not only restored and visually stunning, it also takes on a new life. Whatever has happened in the past, however broken we may feel, we can be whole again by filling our lives with the transformative power of God. Our experiences make us unique. The presence of God makes us whole. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Remember, with God, all things are possible.
This Mindful Moment is brought to you by Daily Word Magazine. Finding time for the positive reminders in Daily Word is easy with the digital edition, perfect for smartphones and readers on the go. Take advantage of our 30-day free trial to the online magazine, plus a daily email with the word for the day and the Daily Word app. To sign up for a free 30-day trial, visit unityonlineradio.org/dailyword.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm coming to you from Hastings in England. My wife, Wendy's here, and also our special guest, Liam Janaki. I always get it wrong. There's so many ways to say it. Janaki, Ganaki, but it's not. It's
Janaki.
There we go. Yeah. Liam Janaki. And it's a pleasure to have him with us because he's one of the great drummers, I believe. And I know Wendy's got a question. I have a question, too, and that is... Are there moments when you're playing where you know, I think some people call it the sweet spot, you know, where you just feel everything's flowing, the whole band is in harmony. Yeah. I mean, and how common is that?
That's very common. Very common. Oh, yeah. I expect that on every gig I play.
Do you?
Yeah. And generally, I get it at some point. I mean, for me, because I get totally absorbed in it. And I wouldn't say I get anxious, but I have a slight adrenaline rushes. I never take it for granted. And I mean, I've been playing 54 years, so, and I know I'm a good drummer. I know I can play, but that doesn't mean, for me, it doesn't mean to say that I'm the right person for that particular evening or for that particular band. You never know if you're the right person. Right. You might be the greatest drummer in the world, but not necessarily the right person. And I know people who have experienced that, had, you know, world famous drummers in, into a session, but they couldn't get them to play the groove that they wanted to play, which is a very simple groove.
Right.
But, I mean, my motto in life is to enjoy every gig I play.
Right.
I do.
Cool.
I can't remember the last time I didn't enjoy a gig.
And they say that a bass player and a drummer must work together, right?
They form
the sort of the foundation and what's...
Yeah, the bottom end. You know, the backbeat and the bottom end, the bass, they hold the groove together.
Yeah,
definitely.
And along those lines, Wendy has a question for Liam too.
Well, my question to Liam, which was interesting, I was sitting here listening to you say that about the band, and I was thinking about working with people, working in groups. And you're right, we're not always the best team together.
That's right.
I mean, different people mesh different ways, and it's okay. That doesn't mean that you're not a better team player with somebody else. Mm. But we don't always mesh together. But besides that, what I was musing over about you is that you have such a kind and open heart and a warm presence. And what we were talking about, you walking down the street and talking to people, and people just like light up and they warm up to you immediately.
Yeah.
And so tell us about that. I want to know what... Your presence, that warm, loving presence. Tell me about where that comes from.
I think that comes from my background, being Irish, and with relatives and family. Although I've got a lot of issues. I carry baggage. I've got some baggage that I've collected on my little trip through life with my mother. Hardships she had that she offloads onto the children because there's nowhere else for it to put it. And my father, and you know. But there was so much love and warmth in our family, and giving and fun, a lot of fun, and a lot of talent being expressed, musical talent without instruments. It's just beautiful. That's the only thing I can put it. I don't really. I mean, it surprised me, like I said, it surprised me when you pointed out how I am with people, because I didn't think about myself being like that. But I suppose I am like that, and I think it's a lot to do with being Irish and being open. I'm very open. I'm a great believer in, you know, do unto one what you have to do unto yourself. And I really do believe that. Although sometimes I do get on the wrong side of people and I do upset people, like in my relationship with Julie, sometimes we have hard times. And then I have to realize, I come around to realizing that, hang on a minute.
We all have baggage. I mean, we all, and we all have things that happen to us and a collective history that we bring forth with us when we, present ourselves, should I say, to another person. It's just, you just have a very lively and warm presence that makes you go, wow, let's have fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, the child in me. Yes. The child. I'm very, I know Julie as she was a psychotherapist. She's very aware of the child in me. She's, you know, and like to grow up, like the joke, what would you like to do, son, when you grow up? I'd like to be a musician. Say, well, you can't have it both ways. No, because you can't.
There we go. Yeah. And there's a lot to be said for remaining childlike. And there we talk about that a lot in Unity, to have the childlike consciousness. And Jesus, of course, himself said, suffer the little children to come to me, you know, when the disciples want to exclude them. Because he understood, he says, no one enters the kingdom of heaven except as a little child. And in other words, with that innocent, open-heartedness that is non-cynical, it's beyond cynicism. You know, one of the things that I think Wendy and I have learned in the last 5 weeks or so, we're about halfway through our sabbatical right now. And one of the things is about trust, you know, trusting the process, trusting things to unfold, because you can't squeeze meaning out of things. It has to come naturally, and to trust that. And sometimes you have to allow the universe to unfold in a wonderful way. And then when you notice that, it's quite remarkable. For instance, we were coming, it was a long day, we were coming down from the Isle of Rona, where we were pretty much all alone on that island, and coming down to Glasgow. Is about 5-6 hour drive across beautiful scenery, but not the easiest roads, they're kind of tiny. And we got into the more urban area of Scotland, just northwest of Glasgow. We're about 20 miles out, and there was a huge traffic jam that went on for about, what, an hour, hour and a half. And we were musing. We couldn't get the phones to work because we didn't have service. We had to drop the car off at the airport, and then we had to find the hotel, which was downtown Glasgow. And we thought, how is this all going to work, you know? And then there was this traffic jam, but we relaxed into the traffic jam. It was fine. You know, we had no place to go particularly, in ultimate terms. And then we saw this sign saying airport, and so we followed it down. We found the gas station, so we have a full tank to return the car to the airport. And then we said to the guy, you know, how do we get downtown? He said, well, just walk 200 yards down there, pick up the bus, it'll take you to the door. And so the bus took us all the way to the hotel. It was waiting for us. And it was total serendipity. So we didn't need to look it up. We didn't need to hassle with it. The sign told us. The man told us. The bus took us. And there we were. And so we got off the bus. We thought, my God, we are so blessed. But I thought, it's not us. We're not blessed. It's look, God is a blessing. The universe is a blessing if we allow it to be so. And it was pretty good. Well, it was remarkable.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, there's something about that. I mean, there's the fine line, I guess, in between being prepared and trusting the universe, too. And I think there's something to be said about having an expectation of that the universe is giving. It's a blessing. And with that expectation, then blessings come, and they come in all sorts of different ways. You might say just because we found our way was, you know, not very much of a blessing, or you might say, well, how foolish of you to leave without looking all of this stuff
yeah,
up or whatever. But I mean, it was a shocker leaving the Isle of Rona, and all of a sudden there was cars and people, and they were all moving too fast and too loud. And it was, we just sort of kind of haphazardly left.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but, you know, you could always, and that's the thing about anything, isn't it? You can either say, oh, that was nothing, or you can say, wow, that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true with the mystical experience sometimes, too. You can have a breakthrough experience, and then it goes, because they don't really last that long. And you say, oh, well, that was nothing, that was just a daydream. And you miss the opportunity then of finding the meaning in life, you know. Or you can say, wow, that really opened me to something. I've got to follow that down. I've got to remain in a receptive mode to life. And I think that's what I'm saying is, you know, not trying to squeeze meaning out of things, but when things do flow, just to give thanks for that beautiful flow. And it doesn't always have to flow in the right and perfect way that we think from our ego perspective it has to. You know, sometimes there's an hour and a half traffic jam to deal with as well, which can drive you crazy, or you can have a little sleep, as I did, and then we woke up and chatted for an hour.
You woke up.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. No, we're not. We. I woke up. The royal we. Yes, His Majesty woke up, and so you know, the person we were talking to last week, you know, was the manager at the lodge there on the island of Rona,
right.
And he was in his early 60s. You know, he's really talking about retiring and where he was going to go next, what he was going to do with his life, and he was concerned a little bit. You know, I don't know what's going to happen for me, but wonderful guy, and we had a great show. But you know, where are you with that? You know, were you going to continue to drum?
Okay. I mean, what? Oh yeah. Yeah, I can't. There's no reason for me not to play drums. I think my reason for being on this planet is to play drums, to make music.
Right.
I really believe that.
Yeah. It was interesting. I was thinking because I really didn't know how you got into drumming. That when you were 15, you knew you wanted to drum, and it's like you know that that's your purpose in life. And I've said that before to myself. I've said, what is my purpose in life? And I think a lot of people ask that question. But we each have a talent. We each have something to give to this world. And I think identifying it and actually acting on it and using it, following your dream. When you were 15, you knew you wanted to play drums, and you didn't let anybody get in your way. It was so. I think you're lucky that
it's a real job,
not in a bad way, No, my we moved to England because of the education was free in England as it wasn't in Ireland. In Ireland, you had to buy your school books. You had to pay for an apprenticeship. So in England, we didn't have to buy our school books, and we got a free apprenticeship. So my mother put me in a shipyard, which I really didn't want to be in. However, I have thanked my mother so many times, because what I did learn was skills and practical skills, so that when I've come across jobs, I can take on any job. And every time I take a job on, if I repair something, I say, "Oh, thank you, mother. Thank you for putting me through that thing." But regarding, I'll play until I cannot play anymore physically. My next step in my life musically would be to get a lighter drum kit, something that's lighter.
Yeah,
to carry, because it's very heavy. My drum kit is very heavy, but I still carry it. I never complain about carrying my drums. I learned that from John Wayne on a film when he was sheriff and he got stabbed, and his son said, "Pa, you're bleeding, you're hurt." He said, "It's all right, son. It goes with the badge." So I thought it's a great philosophy.
There we go. Yeah.
So I never complain about carrying my drums or saying.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, get on with it. Yeah, get on with it, Spirit. Yeah.
You know, we've talked before, Paul and I have talked before about, sometimes along the way that you think, that dream was, my prayers weren't answered or my dream wasn't answered, because you end up in the shipyard instead of in the, at the gig. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that everything that happens to us, I think, it's all part of the wonderful fabric of life, and the skills that you learned there, they're blessings to you later on. And so, I think people think, maybe you're just on a detour, or maybe that where you are today might not be your dream, but that maybe it's if with some sitting with it is what I call it, some just sitting still with it, that you can look around you and glean what's around you and take it with you for future moments.
Oh, yeah.
Well, another experience we had was in Glasgow, because we'd gone up to the hill to see Glasgow Cathedral, and it was Sunday, expected to be open, but it was all tight shut. And so we start walking around, circumambulating the cathedral up there. And then we started joking about doing the Zen thing. So the student said, why is the cathedral closed, Master? And the Master says, "Who closed it?" And then we joked about, I must have said the student whatever. And we were just joking about those koan kind of questions. And then we came around to the front end, and we sat there for a while. And then all of a sudden, this fox comes and comes right up to us, right about 3 feet away. And it's a little bit taken aback by some of the people around, so it hides in the front of a building. And then when they leave, it comes out again, and it comes up to us again. And we see this huge brush of its tail and whatnot. And it's back and forth right in front of us. And so that was the church opening for me. It was like the church may be closed, but the spiritual is always around us. So the Zen master was trying to say, who closed it? Is it closed? Just because it's physically closed doesn't mean you're not open to life. And the fox represented the blessing there of the fact. It's like saying, "See, I was here all the time. You didn't have to go into the cathedral." So I want to write a story about that, because that was such a remarkable moment of seeing that the inside, the outside is not important. It's being present to what is.
Absolutely, the moment, being in the moment.
Yeah. So, all right, we got 5 minutes left. This is this time in the show we ask our guests for wisdom, so that they can impart wisdom to.
He's
broken his beard wisely. Yeah. But you've mentioned many wise things in the show so far. But if there's something that you think is, you know, really important for people to hear, that to help them with their lives, I mean, what would that be? How would you, you know, I think you've shared the to stay open, childlike.
Getting in touch with your child can be painful, has been painful. I've been in touch with my child. I've sometimes thought about where I wasn't happy how my parents were with me, and I've cried, you know, for maybe sometimes I cried for the parents that I didn't get sometimes. Mm. But to be present in the moment and to love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else.
Right.
That's basically it.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm a great believer in what you mentioned about the universe. And I heard somebody say the other week that the universe, the scientists come up and said that the universe is almost like a living organism.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say an organism?
Yeah, you got it right. You got it right.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
It's a living organism. Wrong, too.
And I'm a great believer that how we treat this earth, the earth will, what goes out comes back, and the earth gives back when it's very unhappy. And I think the earth is getting slightly unhappy myself, as Mother Earth. They don't call Mother Earth for nothing.
Yeah.
They don't.
Well, yeah. And we were very aware of that in Scotland, you know, watching the rhythms of things, because the salmon come in from thousands of miles away, or literally maybe not thousands, but literally several hundred miles away, and they not know to come back to the same particular stream. They're in tune with that, and everything is in the flow of the ocean and the stars. And yes, there just seem to be some things out of balance. And if this is going out, then you're listening to it live, you'll know that this is the week where the terrible storms, the hurricane and the storms are hitting Houston and other parts of the Texas coast. And Corpus and other cities down that way. And we said our thoughts and our prayers to all the people there. I know one of our daughters and her husband is in Houston right now and holed up in their apartment. I think they're safe, but still scary. And many other people are impacted. So we hold them in the light. But there have been many, many storms now that have come that are exceptionally unusual. You know, they're only supposed to happen every 100 years or whatever, and we've had five, I think, now hit Houston in the last 30 years. So there just seem to be some kind of imbalance, and we can't go on with our greedy ways, perhaps. So there's got to be a more reflective, balanced outlook to life, and we affirm for that, too, that it's not all about consumption. I think we're very much into consuming things instead of enjoying what we have already.
You know, I think there is a blessing in compost, giving back to the earth, taking the things that you have. And I know when we were on Rona, we were charged with we had to take our own trash back with us. So there was a compost, and we of course used it. And excuse me, we broke down our plastics, and I was breaking everything down and putting the glass together. And I was thinking, you know, what we can do better, we can do a better job at home. And it might seem like a small thing, but every little bit helps. But there was something about the compost. There was about taking your discarded and knowing that discard was going to give back to the richness of the earth. And I thought of our garden at home. I've missed our garden. We didn't plant this year because we knew we were gone. And but I know when you the area of our where we keep the compost and where we it turns to soil, and when you go and you find that soil and you think, wow, we made the soil and it's rich, and that soil is going to give vitamins and minerals over to our to the produce that we're going to use.
Right, very important. All right, we're about at the end of the show. Next week, folks, we're going to be in the Pacific Northwest. So shifting from this part of the world to the other end, like 6,000-7,000 miles away. So we should be coming to you from Whidbey Island, north of Seattle, all being well. I'm popping home to Fort Worth because I'm doing a wedding for a beautiful young woman who was a child when I first knew her. Now she's wonderful adult, and I'm looking forward to doing that wedding. And then we head off again. So we're going into the second part of our sabbatical. Right now, I want to thank Liam for being on the show. He's been a wonderful guest.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And thank you for your hospitality and for opening your home. It's lovely here.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
Yeah, it's a real blast to not just be here in the hospitality of Jillian Liam, but actually do a show with Liam as well, which is a true blast. So, again, thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for keeping this Voice of an Awakening World on the air. Thanks for particularly listening into World Spirituality. I wish you a pleasant and balanced week. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org.
Spirit of Recovery is the place where spirituality and recovery meet, where we support your spiritual growth. Reverend Anna Schaus, PhD, interviews down-to-earth guests who share with you how they keep going and growing in recovery. Spirit of Recovery is the place to get practical tips and join in lively discussions on topics that matter to recovering people. This program welcomes everyone who wants to know more about recovery. Join Anna and her guests live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time on Spirit of Recovery, where we talk about what keeps you growing. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
In an old Three Stooges comedy skit, Larry would call out to Mo, "I can't see, I can't see." Mo would immediately rush to Larry's aid, asking, "Why not?" Larry would then smile and say, "Because I've got my eyes closed." Then, of course, Mo would bop Larry on the head. It is a good idea to pause occasionally to think about what we may not be seeing because our eyes are closed. And preferably do this before we get bopped on the head by circumstances. Is it life that is restraining us or our own limited thinking? When we truly understand that no one can make us think or feel anything unless we give them permission, we begin to see the vastness of our freedom. Open your eyes. Recognize your power to choose how you will focus your thought. Celebrate your freedom. This Law of Life is brought to you by Unity.
To find a Unity Church near you, visit www.unity.org.
God is formless, yet takes many forms. What goes around comes around. Chant the name of the Lord and be free. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ever been confused by the variety and apparent contradiction within world religions? Join Reverend Paul John Roach every Tuesday for insight into those principles held in common by all the great religious traditions in world spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions. Using discussions, interviews, humor, insight, and practical advice, we will clarify the confusion and reveal simple yet profound truths. Call in with your questions and ideas and help break down the barriers that separate us from one another. That's World Spirituality with Paul John Roach, Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity. the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.